The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 38. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem.
Morning, everybody. Two more sleeps to go. Are we getting excited? We can be honest, the children are out there. Are you the sort of person who just can't wait for Christmas? You've been counting down the days since about October the 1st. You can't stop wondering what Santa's going to bring you. What you really love about Christmas is the anticipation, the looking forward. Or is what you really love about Christmas the looking back? Maybe you have family traditions that are central to how you celebrate Christmas. Or maybe you just love the warm familiarity of the traditional English Christmas, the little old village in the snow, robins, holly, ivy, mistletoe, carols from kings, turkey dinner with all the trimmings, followed by Christmas pudding and brandy butter. Anyone looking forward to that? One hand at the back. I'm not about to knock traditions, by the way. Don't get me wrong on that. Sometimes traditions are great. I want to give a shout out to this. Isn't that amazing and beautiful? And if you get bored by the preacher, you can look at the beauty of that. Something older, perhaps inspiration, but great. I want to give a shout out as well to what's on the other side of that wall. Something a bit newer, a reinterpretation of a modern tradition to say something really rather great about what Christmas is really about. We're creative people in this place, it's great. But for us as Christians, we know, don't we, that Christmas isn't really about Santa Claus and presents. Christmas isn't really about traditions, great though some of them are. Christmas is all about looking back at the birth of Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it? I'm not entirely sure. Because if all we do at Christmas is look back, it's not the Jesus bit, it's the looking back bit, I think we miss something. I don't think the true meaning of Christmas is just about looking back at the birth of Jesus. Rather, it's about what that then means for us now. And It's about the wonderful truth that as we look back at the birth of Jesus, we can then look forward in a new and transformed way. It's not just an old, old story. But first, an illustration. Anyone here remember 1973? I was 3 years old, so I was there, but I don't remember it. 1973, as I have found out, was not an easy year in this country. You think 2018's a bit iffy? Whoa. Power cuts, strikes, three-day weeks, inflation, interest rates, oil crisis, Cold War still going on. So, 45 years ago today, at this time, what was everyone listening to? Okay, thank you, Marcus. I think that's probably enough of that for now. 1973, that horrid year, that was Christmas number one. Noddy Holder, who wrote the lyrics, has said, "I think people wanted something to cheer them up, and so did I. That's why I came up with the line, 'Look to the future now, it's only just begun.'" And you know, I think there's a good case that that is still the nation's favourite Christmas pop song. Why? Because its lyrics are fun, forward-looking and optimistic, and its music matches that mood. In 1973, in the midst of national crisis, we were told, "Look to the future now, it's only just begun." Optimism. Now, if you're waiting for things to get better, like pretty much everyone was at that time, a bit of optimism is a good thing. But changing the mood with some bouncy music doesn't really change anything meaningful. Noddy Holder didn't have any evidence about what the future would actually be like when he wrote that. He was just wishing that it would be better. But we have some real reasons to look to a better future. Let's go back a bit further than 1973. Well, quite a lot further, actually, to the reading from Luke we heard a few minutes ago from Jill. Luke 2, verse 25. "There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Simeon was waiting for a better future. Or, in the words of verse 25, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a funny phrase, isn't it? Now, you look in a dictionary, and you can find that consolation is a fancy word for comfort. But I'm not sure that really helps. The comforting of Israel, what does that mean? But Simeon knew exactly what it meant, because he'd been looking back to what God had promised beforehand. In particular, he'd been looking back to passages in the book of Isaiah, the most relevant of which is Isaiah chapter 52, verses 8 to 10, which go like this. "Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices, together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. There's that consolation. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. That's what Simeon was waiting for, the fulfillment of that prophecy. And it wasn't just him. Towards the end of our reading, verse 38, we saw there were others who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. But they'd been waiting an awfully long time. By Simeon's time, Isaiah's prophecy, those words, were about 700 years old. That's a long time to be waiting for something to change for the better. Maybe you've been waiting a long time for something to change. A bad financial situation, waiting for a job, waiting for healing, waiting for a frozen relationship to thaw. Maybe you've been praying for years for your circumstances or for someone else's circumstances to change. Maybe this morning you're a bit like Simeon. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. But Simeon was waiting for something else as well. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow. That line from Isaiah 52, when the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. On one level, that was about Simeon. And God had told him that. Wow. So, guided by the Holy Spirit, he goes to the temple, sees the baby Jesus there with Mary and Joseph, and then he does Isaiah 52 verse 8, which says, your watchmen lift up their voices together, they shout for joy. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God for two things. Verse 29, sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Simeon praises God first for keeping his promises. Because although hundreds of years had passed, God had not forgotten his people. And the Christmas story reminds us that God always keeps his promises, no matter how long ago they were given. God does not forget his chosen people, those he has called to be his dearly loved children, and I trust that includes us. If you're like Simeon, you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for something to change. Message of Christmas, God has not forgotten you. Simeon praises God for keeping his promises, and then he praises God for what God is going to do in the future. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. God has done it, and now a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That's what God is going to do. I hope you picked up how Simeon echoes Isaiah 52 again here. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. It's like, I think he's got this passage in his head. Simeon says, as it were, bit of translation here, what's the true meaning of Christmas? God's future is here now. God's plan to save not only Israel, but the whole world for all time, which he planned and purposed all those years ago, which he promised, which we've been waiting for so long. Well, says Simeon, it's here now. It's go. God's future is here now because Jesus is here now. Or, as he might have put it had he known the song, people of Jerusalem, Look to the future now. It's only just begun. Simeon then said something else, slightly different in tone, verses 34 and 35. Simeon said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." That's a bit different in tone, isn't it? Well, I think Simeon still got Isaiah in his head here. He knew Isaiah chapter 52, and he knew that that continues into Isaiah 53. The one prophesied, the chosen one of God, would bring challenge and controversy, would be rejected, and would suffer. If we're part of God's people, following God's plan, it won't be pain-free all the way. Just like the Christmas story wasn't. Just like how Jesus' ministry and life were. And Mary's, once Jesus got going. Jesus said to his disciples, John 16:33, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace." We were hearing about peace this time last week. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." But, you might say, Christmas, well, that's all the distant past. That's ancient. What does that have to do with now, let alone the future? Well, when we look back from here in 2018, we know not only the Christmas story, but also what happened next. We know that this baby called Jesus, who came at the first Christmas, he grew up. We know that he lived a great life of example. We know that he had miraculous powers of healing and of command over nature. We know that he spoke in a way that impacted those around him like nobody else. And his words still change lives today. We know that eventually the authorities got fed up with him and had him put to death on a cross. And we know that he did not stay dead, but he came back to life and then met with his close friends. We know that a few weeks after that, he physically left the earth, but he then sent his Holy Spirit to fill everyone who believes in him, and he still does that now too. We know that his followers came to realize that his death and resurrection were, and still are, God's way of dealing with the fact that all of us by nature reject him. The fact that Jesus took the punishment for our wrongdoing in our place means that we are now free to receive God's forgiveness and live a fulfilled life in relationship with God. We know all these things have happened and still go on happening. And we know that Jesus hasn't finished yet. For example, Hebrews 9:27-28. "Just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." He's coming back. That's still to happen. Not happened yet. When it does, that prophecy in Isaiah 52:10 will be really fulfilled. All the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. So, 2,000 years or so after the birth of Jesus, because all those other things have happened, God's future has still only just begun, as it were. Okay, interlude 2. That's a photo of three old blokes. The photo was taken a couple of months ago. Can anyone tell me where those three men were exactly 50 years ago today? And while you're thinking about that, I would like two volunteers, please. All you have to do is stand up and hold something for a couple of minutes. One, two. Brilliant. Can you come here, please? All right, Richard. Can you hold that out? Just hang it out in front of you, out there. Thank you. Marcus. Can you go do the same, but down there in the blue circle, please? Anyone know who those three are? 50 years ago, right now, Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, Bill Anders, the crew of Apollo 8, were about here, two-thirds of the way from the Earth to the Moon. The most famous Apollo mission is, of course, Apollo 11, July 69, when Neil Armstrong became the first person to step onto it. But Apollo 8 deserves to be right up there. Because Apollo 8 was the first time anyone had left the Earth's orbit, the first time anyone had gone anywhere near the Moon. And the mission that proved that this whole landing on the Moon thing might just actually be possible. Apollo 8 is also known for two other things. One is the broadcast to the world given by the three astronauts on Christmas Eve 1968, which, I mean, I wasn't born then, but it sends shivers down my spine when I hear it, during which they read the first few verses of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then on so. It's amazing. And the other thing Apollo 8 is particularly famous for is what they saw when they got here and looked back. And I should have taken my clicker with me. They saw that. That picture was taken by Bill Anders and was afterwards given the name Earthrise. Isn't that beautiful? But it's so much more than just being beautiful, because nobody had ever before seen our little blue Earth looking so distant and small behind a grey and lifeless lunar foreground. That picture helped transform how many, many people saw our planet. And in particular, it became the poster image of the emerging environmental sustainability movement. One of the Apollo astronauts has said that quote, "We came all this way to explore the moon, and the most important thing is that we discovered the Earth." So 50 years ago tomorrow, when we, represented by those three astronauts, when we looked back when that photo was taken, what we saw transformed how we see ourselves and, for many people, how they then thought about the future. Thank you, guys. Can I have my mini solar system back, please? Thank you. So for us, in Frimley 2018, when we look back, not in distance like those guys did, but in time, to the birth of Jesus, we can see the start of the key phase of God's plan for the universe. When we look back at Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and when we look back at all those events in the past, we know that we can trust that God is with us now. And we can look forward with confidence to the future that God has for everyone who follows Jesus as their Saviour and their Lord. Sometimes waiting is good for us. I think society in this country, at least, is getting worse at that. I want it all. I want it now. That is never a healthy attitude. Sometimes, of course, waiting is painful. If you're painfully waiting for a better future, Christmas for you says God has not forgotten you. Just like that first Christmas was for Simeon, God is working. God is acting. God will carry out his plans in full. You just need to trust him for that. So if that's you this morning, then please look to the future now. God's future. It's only just begun. And for all of us this Christmas, let's not just be those who look back at the birth of Jesus and stop there. When we look back, let's then look forward in that new and transformed way, based on that first Christmas, based on what Christmas means and all that happened since to Jesus. God is still on his plan A. It's still going. God has not finished yet. Our hope of all that God has in store for us and for all his creation, well, it's not just wishful thinking. It is sure and certain, because we know that God keeps his promises. We know that God does what he says he's going to do. And Christmas and all that happens since that demonstrates that. Hard evidence. So let's all look to the future now. It's only just begun. So that song from 1973, don't know what you think of it, but when you hear it again, which, if you've got last-minute Christmas shopping to do, might well be tomorrow, enjoy it, have a little bounce, but perhaps let it remind you of the true meaning of Christmas, the deeper truths, the real facts that we can have confidence in. We look back to the birth of Jesus. It can change how we see now, and it certainly should change how we look forward. Thank you.